Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Glad you're kicking off another week with us here and hope you had a great weekend. We're getting ready to sit down with listener Megan to talk about her awesome honeymoon, both land and sea, down in Florida. We're going to talk about their first Disney cruise. Lots of fun times down at Walt Disney World as well, so stand by for that. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books for the Disney fan in your life, and it may be you. I mean, we're in the hottest part of the summer. It's very hot here in the United States. Great time to grab some lemonade and a great book, such as Beyond the Wisdom of Walt. That's the new book by author Jeff Barnes, talking about how Walt Disney himself planned for an awesome forward-thinking city down in Central Florida, more than theme parks. But more than that, it dives into Walt's dreams and how he got those dreams to become reality. He got the most from those around him. He was a great leader, but he also listened. He was a great family man. You can get a lot of lessons from these books, this one and the original, The Wisdom of Walt. So check them out over at thewisdomofwalt.com or pick them up on Amazon today. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For the price of an ice cream sandwich at Sleepy Hollow, well, maybe two, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1361 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. So glad to have you here for another Be Our Guest Podcast. It's a trip report. It's Monday. That's what we do. That's what we've done for over 10 years, a little virtual trip down to Walt Disney World. And today we're not only going to World, we're going out and sailing with Disney Cruise Line as well. So to do this, we have to have a great guest, and for this, we're heading up to Chicago, the Windy City. Megan is on the line. Megan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime. Glad to hear about it. So this is one of those trips that I really love because it was your honeymoon, and you did a land and sea adventure, which Disney used to really like in the 90s and the early 2000s. They really pushed this idea of land and sea vacations, not only for families, but especially for honeymooners and stuff like that. And you guys put that together. So where did you first get the thought to do this?
So originally we wanted to have a Disney wedding, and that didn't work out just because of family who wouldn't physically be able to travel to Orlando. So we did a wedding at home, but with that, I was like, 100% we have to have a Disney moon, and like that was the bottom line.
And I think that's a great idea for folks that, you know, I think a lot of brides and I'll tell you what, probably a lot of grooms as well, you know, wish for the Disney wedding. But unfortunately for some folks, it is kind of out of reach and it's a destination wedding. It, you know, a lot of folks can't travel that far. There's a big expense involved. But I think that the one thing that is in reach for everybody is, like you said, the Disney moon, the Disney honeymoon. Not only could you do Walt Disney World because you don't have to stay at the Grand Floridian, you know, you can have a great honeymoon staying at Pop Century. Really, you could, because it's what you make of it. But I mean, Disney cruises, if you search them right times a year, you know, right ships, you can make that happen too. So is that kind of the avenue you guys pursued?
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. So tell us about, so when was this? I mean, it's been quite a while now, but tell us when you went.
Yeah, so it was actually last May 2017, and we were there from the 17th to the 27th, so 10 days.
So was that like a dream to be there for that long? That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it was great. It was still hard to come back, but it was good.
You were almost Florida residents. You know, if you just stayed a couple more days, yeah. So that's what I tell myself.
Yeah. So our first 2 days, we flew in. We actually stayed off property for 2 days, and we just did stayed at the hotel, swam, just relaxed before we set out on our cruise on that third day.
So let me stop you there real quick. Was it relaxing, mm-hmm. or were you like itching because you were in Florida, but you weren't like on the ship and you weren't at Walt Disney World? Or was it, I mean, I guess I could relax. I don't know. Maybe it's not my personality.
Yeah. It was, our wedding was on Saturday and we left on Wednesday. So it was nice to go and not have to do anything and just relax. But my husband did have to force me to not do anything Disney because I was like, let's go to Disney Springs. Let's do something. And he's like, we're going to be in Disney for like 8 days. Like, let's take two to just not do anything Disney. So that was hard for me at least.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, that's how I would feel. Like, you know, we're in the neighborhood, you know, while you're here, we got to, but you knew you had a great adventure coming up. So I like that idea of kind of, because weddings, I mean, as fun as they are, don't get me wrong, they're stressful. You know, you're worried about everybody but yourself, it feels like, at a wedding, and you're trying, you know, you plan forever for this thing to happen, and then, like, you need decompression after it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, good idea. And then you can get on with your fun. So, you guys went on the cruise first. That's a question a lot of people always ask. Do I cruise first? Do I cruise second if I'm doing land and sea? You guys went on the cruise first. So, was it because of just when the cruise was sailing, or was it intentional that you wanted to cruise first? Why'd you go that route?
Yeah, so it was basically just because of the dates. They just matched up better. If I were to do this again or recommend it to someone else, I would 100% do the cruise second.
Okay. You know, and the whole thing is, yeah, people always ask, and I mean, there's pluses and minuses, because I think the biggest plus to cruise in first is it's not such a punch in the gut when you get off the ship. You're going to Walt Disney World, so that's pretty sweet. You know, mm-hmm. otherwise, like, it's like, okay, hit the road, Jack. You're going back to reality. That's the worst. But, like, I think, too, cruising second is nice because Walt Disney World kind of runs you ragged and wears you out. And you get on the ship, it's only so big, and you can really chill.
Yeah, exactly. That's the main thing. I'll get into our Disney world part later. But for sure, we were, like, completely burned out by the time we got to Disney World, and it would have been nice to kind of, like, after the 2 days of not doing anything Disney, to kind of hit the ground running in Disney World and get everything done, and then have the 3 days on the ship to relax.
Good point. Okay, so let's talk about this. This is your first Disney cruise, so everybody kind of gets in their mind's eye. We watch the YouTube videos. You know, it used to be back in the day, you get the VHS tapes or the DVDs, and, you know, you have a good idea of kind of what you're getting yourself into. But what were your first impressions when you arrived at Port Canaveral and got on the ship for the first time? You guys were on a 3-night on the Dream, correct?
Yes.
So what'd you think initially, like, upon arrival?
Yeah, so we rented a car from the airport for our 2 stays at the other hotel. And so we took the rental car, we drove to Port Canaveral, dropped it off there, and then took a shuttle from there to the port. And I just, from the second we got off that shuttle, like, I've never had a vacation go so smoothly. Like, everything from check-in to, you know, the actual cruise, it was so smooth. And being in the terminal in Port Canaveral was just, it was so great. Like, it was so exciting to be there.
Isn't it, though? I mean, it's like, you're excited to be in the terminal because, you know, like, you're literally like 100 yards away from being on the ship. But it's like, just let me on the ship. And I don't know if you guys got there early. Like, we always get there so early. I tell my guests, don't do this, you know, because I get there, you know, too early. I always get the very first port arrival time. We have to hang out in the lobby for like an hour, which is no fun. And I'm just like, just let me on the ship already. I want to get going. You know, that's the worst, but the best feeling at the same time.
Yeah, so I'm the same way. Like, I love to get places early, like, just for peace of mind. We actually had car trouble with our rental car, and it wouldn't start. And so we had our check-in time was 10:30, and so we arrived, like, I think it was 10:20, which for me was just, like, driving me crazy because I would have been there a lot earlier. But at the same time, it was kind of like everything went so smoothly from getting there and checking in, and then we got, you know, a really good number. So we were on the ship, and I think it was like less than an hour from actually stepping into the terminal. Oh,
so sweet. That's like the dream. That's how it is. So, okay, so you get on the ship. So much to do on a Disney Cruise Line ship. I love the Disney dream. We're sailing the podcast cruise on that again next summer. So initial thoughts. What did you think once you got on board?
Yeah, so when we first walked in and they announced us and into the lobby, that was just like, I was holding back tears. It was so magical. Like, I could have not even dreamed it was going to be that great. And then we checked out where our room was going to be, even though we knew it wasn't going to be ready. And then we went to Cabanas and ate there, and then just walked around and explored the ship, and it was so nice. Like, everything was so much better than I expected.
And I know Cabanas is like a nut house, like, you know, when they have the first lunch there and everybody's coming on board, because basically they're shuttling the whole ship into Cabanas and maybe one other dining location, so it gets a little busy and crazy. But it's so exciting because you're there with all these other guests that, you know, they're like you. They've been counting down maybe 300 days, 200 days, you know, and it's now here. You know, the cruise is totally in front of you, all the fun you're going to have. And I like Cabanas food. I love it. So I love the energy of that initial lunch on top deck. And I usually take it outside. The weather's nice. It's kind of like the perfect picnic for me.
Yeah, I agree. It was crowded, but we managed to get a small seat by the window, so that was really cool to just kind of get our food and sit there and just look out at the water. And like you said, everybody's just so excited to be there, so it's like a good crazy, you know?
It's the best crazy. This is, you know, I've had some crazy Disney crazies, but yeah, that's a good one. Okay, so it's a three-night cruise, so these things tend to go pretty quickly because you look forward to them for so long, and then, you know, 3 days goes by. Looking back a year later, what do you remember as like the highlights of the cruise? What would you like to share for folks that maybe have never cruised, or they're just dying for a little Disney Cruise Line talk in their Monday here?
Yeah, so there was so much in the 3 days. It really felt like longer than 3 days, even though it was, you know, felt short. But there was just so much to do, and I felt like we were doing something at every like second of the day. One thing that, on our second day, it was our Nassau day, and we walked out to Nassau for like a half hour, and we walked around, but we were just really tired and wanted to relax. So we went back to the ship, and we found that there was, a movie theater, which we had no idea that they had, and, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 had just come out. So that was playing that night. So, I also didn't know that you could see like any of the Disney movies in the room on the TV. And so they had Guardians of the Galaxy 1. So we went back up to Cabanas, like it was around lunchtime now. And we just got like a plate of food for each of us and just went back into the room and watched Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, and just ate food and relaxed. And that was just really an unexpected thing, but it was so relaxing and nice and something you don't really expect to do on a cruise.
That sounds a lot of fun. I don't know if I'd have the discipline to sit still for that long to watch a movie, but you know, I've tried in the big movie theater, the Buena Vista Theater, but it was a night we were at sea. We were going through a storm. It was kind of rough seas, not too bad, but it was Wreck-It Ralph in 3D. So I had just had like a gigantic dinner, had way too much food. 3D glasses on, and the ship's bobbing and weaving. I was like, I'm out of here, man. I can't take all this motion and the 3D on top of it. Yeah, so no, but that's a great idea because you got to relax, and that's what vacation's all about.
Yeah, so like we docked in Nassau around 8 a.m. So we were up at like 6 and we walked around the ship, and then we went to breakfast. They had a breakfast buffet in Enchanted Garden, and so we did that. And then, you know, we were in Nassau by like 8:05, maybe like right when they would let you off the ship. We were out there and we walked around, and it was really hot. We weren't expecting it. And so we walked around for a bit, but we came back and we went to the pool. And since everybody was on the island, there was hardly anyone in the pool. So we did that. And then after that, we were pretty beat. So it was, you know, around lunchtime, a little bit after that. So then we got our food and watched the movie in the room.
That's a good tip, though, because while people are off the ship in Nassau, especially if you cruise more and you go to Nassau multiple times, there's stuff to do in Nassau, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, once you've been there a few times, you know, you can almost use the Nassau day as, like, an additional sea day. Or if you don't have a sea day, like, on a three-day, mm-hmm. you know, like, really explore the ship. Take advantage of all that stuff on the ship that you're paying for that's fun. That, you know, that's kind of how I go about it. Let me ask you this, because this is one of my favorite things, just personally, on cruises. I love all the stuff that the cruise director staff does, like trivia or, like, the diaper dash or... you know, just all the crazy stuff, towel folding, game shows. Was that your jam, or did you kind of steer clear of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we didn't actually experience hardly any of that. We stayed in the 18 and older, I think it is, that pool where it was just, there was no one in there. So we basically had the pool to ourselves for like our whole cruise. We did do the water slide though, which was a lot of fun. But there's a lot of free things like that I didn't know about, and I wish I would have. And I feel like that's kind of the downside with the 3-day cruise is we were just starting to see like different events that were going on. And by the time we started realizing, oh, hey, like you could sign up for this, you know, on your first day or whatever, our cruise was over.
Yeah. And that's, you know, another huge tip is if you have a cruise planned, you know, here moving forward, you know, the rest of the fall or, you know, whenever you're going. Dive into, you know, explore, go online, find personal navigators from similar sailings and just dissect that thing. Because what I've learned, and it's so weird again, you know, I enjoy the most obscure things, you know, like I enjoy, we did our podcast cruise last summer on the Fantasy. One of the most fun things we did as a group, a bunch of us, we did fantasy baseball draft. I mean, how dumb is that? You know what I'm saying? Like, that was so fun because I don't do that back home. So we had a good time with that. So I think you're exactly right. You know, dive in, know what you're getting yourself into. Did you guys go to any of the shows or, you know, anything like that? Was there anything that impressed you like that as far as the entertainment?
No, we didn't go to any shows either. We were just, I felt like I was super prepared because I am a huge planner. But then once we were there, it was like, you know, the first day, you know, we had so much to do with getting our room ready and then getting ready for dinner and stuff. And then the second day and then, you know, doing all of that stuff. And then the third day was Castaway Key, which we, you know, spent all day there. And then we were, you know, the next morning we were off. So I feel like there was hardly any time to do anything, which I guess is another downside of the 3-day cruise. Yeah, we didn't do any shows.
That's good. So, what'd you think of Castaway Key? I could live there, but that's just, I think most people could. It's pretty sweet. It's almost like paradise.
Yeah, it's been over a year now, and I think I'm still talking about it like on a weekly basis. It was better than I could have imagined. It was just great. Everything about it was great.
So now, did you guys go to Serenity Bay back in the adult area and just kind of hang out there, kind of like the equivalent of the adult pool on the ship?
Yep, that's exactly what we did. We got off the ship as soon as, you know, they would let us, and we took the little tram over to the 18-plus beach, and they had little lawn chairs there, and we put them right, like, on the edge of the sand into the water, and we had books, and we just sat there, and it was just so relaxing. It was, like, perfect.
Oh, I've heard a rumor that exists, and I still have kids, so I'll have to wait, and someday, hopefully it'll still be there in like 8 years when Mallory's 18, and we can go there without, probably sooner than that, who knows, but yeah, I've heard great things, and I've heard that they actually have really nice, you know, food there on Serenity Bay, like, you know, kind of some nicer things, and, you know, again, it's one of those things, like, I gotta peek over the wall because I don't get to go there yet because I have kids. I will get there, though. It sounds like it's a wonderful place.
Yeah, it was really nice. We didn't get a chance to experience any of the bars or anything. Neither me or my husband drink too much, so that wasn't really something that was on our list, but we did go to the buffet, which I think is similar to the one that's on the other side of the island, but we had burgers and I think my husband had chicken or fish, something like that, and we ate there, and that was really nice too.
Yeah, Cookies is the name. There's Cookies and there's Cookies too. There's two of them on the yeah. island there, and those are, I'm not kidding, as nice as the restaurants are on the ship, Cookies is usually my favorite meal because it's my jam. You know, those hamburgers and the chicken and the ice cream and the corn on the cob. That's just, I'm getting so hungry talking about this. We got to change topics. So you think the three night, it was just kind of, you felt like you had a lot going on, but you wish you would have been more well prepared to kind of take advantage of stuff immediately instead of finding out like 2 days in, we could have done this, we could have done that. So that's kind of the advice you would offer the listeners.
Exactly. Yeah, my husband and I actually, when we were planning the trip, he wanted to do a full-length cruise, like just our whole honeymoon. And I was like, no, I don't want to be on a cruise for 7 days. Like, I had been on cruises when I was younger, not Disney cruises, but other cruise lines. And I was like, I don't really want to go on a cruise for the whole time. Like, I want to do Disney World. And looking back, I could have done a cruise for the whole 7 days, and I would have been so content with that.
No, when I retire, I just want to do those cruises where you go all the way around the world. that's how much I love cruising. Like, just put me on a ship and I'm happy. Okay, so you get off the ship and you guys head over to Walt Disney World. So that's pretty exciting. You know, you guys are Disney fans. Mm-hmm. Now you get to go and just have a blast. You guys stayed at Riverside, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so be careful now. It's my favorite resort. Be honest. What'd you think Riverside? Did it work out for you?
So I actually have a funny story. We stayed at Riverside previously. It was actually the first Disney hotel that I had ever stayed at. And so we booked it, and we just booked a standard room. And when we got there, our room was just, it seemed a little off. Like, it seemed maybe as if there was previously a leak in the ceiling and they had just touched it up, but it had been vacant for a while, because it just seemed off. It was kind of dingy, and it just didn't like live up to my expectations. So I went down to the front desk, and I was like, you know, very politely, I was like, is there any way we could maybe switch rooms? You know, we don't mind if it's later or tomorrow or whatever, but we just aren't happy with our room. And they were like, no, sorry, you know, we don't have any. I was like, okay, you know, no problem. At least I tried. So I got back, and the more I was in the room, I was just like, you know, I'm just really not happy with this room. So I called the front desk again, and she's like, let me, you know, transfer you over to my manager. And I was like, again, just very politely, just, you know, I'm just really not happy with it. Some of the like outlet cases were missing and just weird stuff that was just really off. And she's like, let me see what I can do and I'll call you back. And I was like, okay, no problem. So we were out and we went to the pool and stuff, you know, it was no big deal, but she called me back and she's like, for your inconvenience, we actually upgraded you to a garden view room. We're going to switch you over there, like, immediately. You can go let yourself in with your magic bands right away, and we're going to give you a credit on your account for the inconvenience. And so we were so blown away by that because we were not expecting that at all.
That's good. I mean, you know, I hate to hear that a room is, you know, not satisfactory, but, you know, I understand that sometimes things probably do crop up, and I, you know, that's the proactive thing Disney should do, because we're paying good money for these rooms. I mean, they're not cheap, and everybody deserves a great experience. So I'm glad that they comped you and moved you into a room that was, you know, acceptable, and that you could get the, you know, cause it's your honeymoon, you know, that you could get the honeymoon that you dream of. You know, you don't get to do this ever again. You know, this is it. So, yeah, at least there's a happy ending to that story, it sounds like.
Yeah, for sure. And like we said, you know, it wasn't a huge deal, but, you know, we were like, if there's any way we could get a different room, you know, that would be great. And when we got back into the room later that night, we actually, we walked into, they had a honeymoon, like a wedding kind of thing, gift package for us. And we later found out that was just from the resort. It wasn't from family or anyone, which we originally thought it was. And it was like two, like Mr. and Mrs. Mugs, a thing of chocolate, popcorn, a card from Mickey and Minnie. And it was just really cute.
And that's, I mean, to me, that's why we go to Disney. You know, I don't expect those things, but like just hearing about those things makes me happy. You know, like it doesn't have to happen to me necessarily. I'm just glad that they're still doing those things, because I think we get, I don't know, I'm very, very in touch with a lot of folks who go to Disney very frequently. So it can get negative sometimes because, you know, the prices are going up and it's getting more crowded. You know, you got this and that. But, man, I'm so glad to hear, because those are the things I think about when I first became a Disney fan. Like, I felt like they were more common. So I'm glad they're still looking out for the guest experience. And, what, you know, because they're trying to make a memory for you. That's bottom line. I'm glad they did that.
Exactly. That's how I felt, too. And it, like I said, I wasn't, you know, expecting it or anything. You know, you hear about this stuff, but you never expect it. And so that was just a really nice thing.
All right. So moving outside of Riverside, what were some of your favorite times in the theme parks? What'd you guys do?
Yeah. So the first day we went to Magic Kingdom and we did the Crystal Palace for breakfast. And that was actually the first time we seen Happily Ever After as well. And that was kind of neat to experience because it being like our honeymoon and Happily Ever After, I don't know. I thought it was it was cute. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, I guess. On a honeymoon right there. I didn't make that connection. They should require all honeymooners to go see that show on their first night there.
Exactly. And I'm still a wishes person, but I appreciated Happily Ever After.
Yeah, it's winning me over though. I would say a year, you know, 6 months ago I was a wishes person. I think you just have to get comfortable with the new guy. You know, like it's the new kid on the block, but I'm kind of liking it. I'm digging it now.
Yeah, exactly. And so our second day we headed over to Hollywood Studios, and this was actually the like highlight of our Disney World trip, which we didn't expect at all. You know, we assumed that, you know, a lot of things would be closed down, so we wouldn't get to do everything. But we originally had lunch plans at Sci-Fi, and the more I thought about it, I was like, I kind of wanted something more, like, not necessarily romantic, but maybe more, you know, less, I don't know.
What, you're not saying Sci-Fi's not romantic? Come on now. Nate Parrish worked there. No, just kidding. No, you know, you got drive-in car and convertibles, man. Nothing more romantic than that. You know, hey, that's how we roll in St. Louis. I know you're up in the big city in Chicago, so.
Yeah, so we ended up just canceling those. Well, we actually went and walked into Mama Melrose's, which we had never been at before. And we were like, hey, we have reservations at Sci-Fi, and we're not, like, super thrilled about it. We were wondering if, you know, you could switch it around and maybe we could get something here. And they're like, well, you know, that's fine. We'll cancel your other ones and we'll put you on the list. We got there right when it opened. And whenever it's ready, you know, we'll give you a call if you just want to wait here. So I think there were like three people they called in front of us, and then we were in there. So it was like no wait.
So what'd you think? That's one of those places it's never on. We've eaten there a few times, but I never think about it. But every time I eat there, I like it. But it never crosses my mind to make an ADR there.
Yeah, we loved it. I think if, you know, next time we go to Hollywood Studios, that's for sure going to be on our list. It was just really good. Like, we loved the food, and it was filling. So we ended up going back to the resort because it actually started raining, so it's perfect timing. And we just took a little nap. We went to the walked around and stuff once it cleared up, but just to, you know, not go on any rides after because we both had pasta. So
yeah, that's a good call. I've made that mistake many times with 50s Primetime and Tower of Terror. So don't do that. You know, and two, with Mama Melrose, it's a good value. Like, the prices there are not as crazy as most places at Walt Disney World. You can get a really good meal there, and it's a really good Disney value, is what I say.
Yes, I agree completely. After that, we headed back once the weather cleared up a little bit, and we headed back to Hollywood Studios, and there was like no one there. I couldn't believe how dead it was. We rode Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster without any fast passes, just walked up, and I could have rode Tower of Terror like probably three more times, but my husband was like, no way, we're not going on this again. I think we went on it like three times, and we went on Rock and Roller Coaster twice, so he was kind of done with those rides for the day.
Smart guy. You know, there's such thing as too much of a good thing. You don't want to go too much on those rides, you know. Pace yourself. So did you guys stay for the fireworks or anything like that?
We watched the Star Wars fireworks, which both of us just loved. I thought those were just wonderful.
You guys big Star Wars fans? Or what'd you think of the studios? Again, that's a long time ago, though, now. It's really, you know, now Toy Story Land is open by the time this airs, and, you know, it's really transforming. When you guys were there, it was kind of at its low point, because I was there the next month. I was there that summer, too, last summer, and it was kind of, You know, if you didn't like Star Wars, there really wasn't a lot there. I mean, other than like the launch bay.
Yeah, we kind of had this as like our half day park because we assumed there wasn't going to be too much to do. But like I said, we really we found so much stuff to do. We didn't have an issue at all with like running out of things to do. And my husband is probably a bigger Star Wars fan than I am, but I like the Star Wars stuff, so that doesn't bother me. And I love the fireworks, and I love they had a little show with the stormtroopers walking down, the music playing, and that was really cool to experience as well.
Yeah, Star Wars or Disney's all in on Captain Phasma leading those stormtroopers. I mean, they're 110% in on that. It's cool seeing. I guess that's the only place you can see something like that. So kudos to Disney. So what'd you guys do outside of the studios? Did you guys go to any other parks?
Yeah, then we went to Epcot after that, which by then we were just so insanely burned out. I think we were there only for a few hours. We had some quick service in the Mexico Pavilion, and then we headed home and back to the resort. And we were, like, with the cruise and the 2 full days at the other parks, we were just completely burned out.
So as we wrap this up, I mean, because I like to use this not only just for folks that were missing Disney, we like to get a little Disney fix, you know, every Monday, but what advice would you give somebody that's thinking, maybe a bride that's looking at honeymooning land and sea at Walt Disney World? You know, you say you got a little bit burned out. It was maybe a little bit too much, but looking back a year later, what would you give somebody that could help them plan their Disney honeymoon?
Yeah. So number one would just be to do the, I would do the cruise second. I mean, I wouldn't not do it like this again. I'd just probably be a little bit more prepared, but in general, I think the cruise, just having that time to relax and not, you know, you pay for the parks. And so it's like, you have to go, you know what I mean? Like, you have to be there and you want to get the most out of your money. Whereas the cruise, it's like, you're always going to be on the cruise. So it's like, you want to relax for a little bit and you know what I mean? I think that's just the biggest tip. And also one thing that I would give someone a tip in the same position would be to buy the pictures on the cruise. We did not, and we didn't buy any of them, and I regret doing that. I regret not buying them. I know they're a little expensive, and we were really on a budget for this, you know, after spending so much on the hotel and the tickets and the cruise. I was like, no, we don't need the pictures, but I wish I would have.
Yeah, I think that that's kind of a truism of life. You know, it's like, especially with photos and memories and things like that, it's like, it's an expense. And nowadays, you know, they sell these packages and there's, you know, with Disney Cruise Line, you can go to mycruisephotos.com and pre-purchase a package, kind of like Memory Maker, of all your pictures for a discount before your cruise. But it is, I mean, it's an expense when you're looking at the bottom line. You're like, I could probably cut that out and save a couple $100. But then again, when you get back, man, it'd be nice to have them. Because I've sailed a lot, and you probably saw this on your previous cruises outside of Disney Cruise Line, is when they would print your pictures and hang them on the wall, and you see them and they're physically there, and you know they're just going to trash them, you know, if you don't buy them. That bugged me. I hated that.
Oh yeah, for sure. And yeah, we contemplated it, and we're like, we should, you know, let's just buy one. And then I'm like, nah, we don't really, we're going to Disney. So we bought the photo pass package at Disney. So we're like, we'll have tons of pictures there, so we don't have to worry about, you know, the cruise. But looking back, it would have really just been nice to have some of the cruise ones.
Seriously, the cruise is the only time you'll get me in a tuxedo on that 7-nighter when they have formal night. So if you want to see me looking like a penguin, you got to buy the package. Well, you know, it sounds like you guys had a great time. A lot of great advice, too, for future folks that are looking to honeymoon down at Walt Disney World and sail with Disney Cruise Line. So, Megan, I know it took a couple tries to get this one in the books, and I appreciate your time. And thanks for coming on the show and sharing with us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. 2 great books for your hot summer afternoons. A Cup of Lemonade and the Wisdom of Walt, or Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, Under a Tree. And you've got a great July or August afternoon. So check them out. Great books, audiobooks, Kindle versions. You can even pick up the regular book signed by author Jeff Barnes over at thewisdomofwalt.com. We've also got touringplans.com as a great sponsor for years here. They're keeping you out of crowds and helping you see the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And we've got a great Facebook group over at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And plan to join us out in Indianapolis late in August. Go to IndieDisneyMeet.com for all the details. We'll be broadcasting live from the main stage, and we've got a big giveaway. So you want to make sure that you're there in Indy for the Indy Disney Meet late August. So check it out today. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Thank you so much for kicking off another week with us. I know the audio was a little bit rough today. Hey, we'll fix that next time. So we'll be back again on Wednesday answering your listener questions. But for Megan, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.